I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Lovely listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio with me, I have the privilege and honor of being joined by Sister Salma Khalfan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you so very much for being with us, sharing your time with us.
The pleasure is mine.
Thank you. During these last few episodes of Muslim Lady, we've been discussing the identity of a mother and how it's important for any mother, especially a Muslim lady, to find, to rediscover, refind in a way, the value within that identity that Allah has bestowed upon her through nature. Now, today, talking about value, obviously there's a strength that can be drawn from that, right? And Sister Salma, if you could just explain to us through which route does Islam give this strength to a Muslim lady? Because for the past, I would say, 300, 400-ish years, there's been this common misconception and misinterpretation of Islam and the practices a Muslim lady has within her religion, that, oh, Islam oppresses women and it does the complete opposite of empowering them, and it cages them and it degrades them and it's constantly forcing them to cover themselves and hide away in their homes and this and that. So when you say that if Islam gives them strength, you know, that's such a bold statement to be making. And how do we defend that? Because how does that happen?
First of all, we can see that Islam gives many rights to women. That is an empowerment in itself.
For sure.
Right? So the law of creation has made men and women in need of each other. In order to better unite men and women together and strengthen the family. The family is the main thing that actually unites this, the men and women, and gives strength to the woman. So this is the main basis of human prosperity. If men have been established as the ones for the women to financially rely on, women have been created for men to spiritually rely on.
Beautiful.
You know, so this empowers her, actually. A woman has so many tasks, but when she brings peace around her family, then she has actually done the best task ever, because she's given peace to her husband and she's given peace to her children around her also. And the children are the future leaders also. So we have to see that this woman is empowered, but sometimes she has to combat with herself a lot in the process, because she sees her husband as her friend and her, you know, like a partner to be so close to, not realizing the fact that there's an element of respect there to establish this power in her, if she wants to maintain that power, to keep it long-lasting, to not let go of, you know, to not lose her respect in front of her husband. So that will actually make her gain the power. And family is, the family issues, will, as we'll keep on looking at it, really provides a ground for her to get this power.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and she has to look at it like that, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Muslim Lady. We are going to go for a short break, so stay tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
When you you said that if she relies on her man for financial support, then her man and her family basically rely on her for spiritual support and for that serenity that they so very much require in order to be able to function in this world, really. But what if that peace and serenity comes at her own expense? Who does the woman turn to for that peace that she obviously so very much needs as well?
Well, you know what? This is a plan that she has to undergo, first of all, through spouse selection. She can't just say that now, and you know, like there are many people out there who are suffering because of the spouses are not compatible with them. And, you know, the blame is probably on the parents as well to have selected such spouses for them. In olden days' time, you see, people were not given that much value and importance, that they could select their spouses themselves. Sometimes it gets out of hand in this day and time also, because people, they don't want to get married. And they keep on lagging behind. And probably they want Mr. Perfect to come along. And then they see that they've lost.
Yeah, the age has gone by.
So it's very important to have a balance in that, to have the elders' consent also here, as well as your own. The advice of the elders is very important. Mm. So when you see that in the case that you have asked that, you know, then whom should she turn to? It's actually her own fault. Now she has to learn how to be more patient. She has to grow
and cope
or
with
she
it on
can
her
choose
own.
Another way. If she's so much in the intermediary level, like the barzakh, that she can't escape, then she should divorce. She knows that she's getting the worst of her, you know, her life. Then she should just separate.
Walk away, walk away.
If she knows that there are valid reasons, though.
Right.
Very valid reasons. Mm. But if they are just like in between, then she should improve herself. Mm. She should like maintain the power, as we will keep on seeing what are the requirements to build that power in her. That power is so beautiful that it's not like a physical power that you feel that, okay, your man is more powerful, he can give you security, he can give you money, he can provide for you. You are powerless. This is not the real power, if you go and see, is
for
it?
Sure, yes.
Like, does the zahiri things, the apparent things give you that power? No, the power is within the soul. That when you empower a person spiritually and emotionally, that's when you see that the man of the house has like a very good state of mind, and he can do more for the woman
exactly.
in turn. Yeah, but the woman has to be clever enough, the Muslim lady has to be clever enough to regard these things in her life, not to take it lightly. And the first aspect is the respect that should be given to her husband.
It's so important for a Muslim lady to understand that feminine energy she has within herself and to channel it in a way that demands respect, not in like a dictator, abusive sort of way, but the way she carries herself at home and in front of her spouse.
I'm talking about the respect she should also give to her spouse.
Absolutely, yes. It's a two-way
road. Then
she
earns it,
Yeah, for sure. When you were talking about empowering, it reminded me of all those women that I've seen around myself that were able to channel that feminine energy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rightfully blessed them with, and were able to earn the respect of their spouse by respecting him in return. And then they really wielded a sort of power that could really make or break that man, that family, that community even.
Yeah.
And that is such a powerful thing to be able to do, you know?
It depends on the way she's brought up or the things that she learns in her life, that she can now apply this respect, what she saw from her parents. Mm. It's very important. So upbringing comes here up, you know, like together.
Yes.
So how she was brought up, then she can even give that same respect to the husband. How she was taught the values of how to, you know, enter a family.
Mm.
The values are very important, that she should be taught that, you know, when you enter a family life, don't be so like, you know, like free in your own like world that you think that, okay, now I have a life partner and I can do anything, like I can say anything to him.
Impulsive.
She should have the hud that would do, those limits should be there. Like treating any human being, for
absolutely,
that matter, you know?
Yeah.
Like when we even treat our mother, we are close to our mothers, our parents, but we are so respectful too, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
That earns us more respect in turn and more sawabs in turn. So a parent I mean, a wife should be careful on these things. Mm-hmm. When she's about to enter the marriage contract, she should know that adab is very important. Adab, the best, you know, like heritage that a parent can give to a child is adab.
Mm.
Adab of how to treat your husband, adab of how to react, as in like in anger and frustration or thinking whatever you want to say because he's my, you know, life partner, my spouse. I can say anything to him. Yeah, share with him, have secrets with him, whatever. But maintain the respect. Know that he's a man and he has an ego and he needs to maintain his ego. Otherwise, if you break that ego, then the life will be broken.
Mm.
A man likes that he is the head of the family.
Yeah.
It is in his fitrat to feel that he wants to have the power. So you should respect him for that. And that will earn you respect in turn.
For sure.
It's a beautiful thing that they will earn so much respect in turn that decision making will be even done with their consent.
Mm.
And in a subtle way, a woman can get whatever she wants, you know. The scholar said that a woman is so smart, she can get whatever she wants.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess with this respect, it's good qualities,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, if she's tactful enough, she can definitely do that. Do you think, from your experience of working with so many families in the community, that is it the case that if a woman does not pick up those skills from her family, because some families are really broken, then if she enters her family, then they're doomed and there's no hope for her? Or there is hope that perhaps she can learn from a certain stage onwards? Would you recommend couple counseling? Are these things helpful at all? And whether she can turn a new leaf to not repeat that vicious cycle of abusive families?
Yes, of course. They're all doors are open, you know, for improvement. So if she feels, and she, you know, naturally a woman gets unhappy when she sees that there's no satisfaction in life going wrong with the family. And she will do something about it. But there are different ways to, you know, like do it. For example, she might just read about it. Or she might not have that strong initiative to keep on doing it, you know, that will.
Mm-hmm.
She might do it for a day or two and see the repercussions. And if she keeps on dragging the same attitude, then of course, khasira dunya wal akhirah, she has lost in this world and the hereafter. But if she's smart enough, yes, she'll go for counseling. She will see what to do about it. She will also practice 1-2 in her agenda of how to go about it. And she will learn the hard way, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You see? But she has to learn. And we have seen many people doing that, huh? Like, I know of many olden folk who have actually, you know, like gone to marriages that are very unsuccessful, but they're doing sabr. They're like, you know, they've come up beautifully in their sabr. They know that their partners are not compatible with them because they were not rightly selected in the first place. That's why spouse selection is of paramount importance. Very important. Think about it properly and then pros and cons and go forward if it's the right partner. In spite of all these difficulties along the lines, you will see that they've done their sabr, they've given in, they have, you know, like struggled, they have had so much patience, and then they get it through their children. Or they get that appreciation in the end. Maybe they feel like sometimes that you see the one of the spouse getting sick and they're serving the sick spouse and the man realizes what he did, you know, was wrong.
Yeah.
And he does tawbah in the end. So now he or she is also the winner and so is the husband because he's done tawbah, right? He's regretted and he's turned to Allah and Allah is the All Merciful. He loves the tawabin, you see. So it's not like that there's a, you know, dead end in Islam. No, there's no dead end. And there are all the ways to search for. And, you know, now we have, everything is so open and replete. The world has become like a village.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, counseling, asking, seeking advice from elders, improving yourself. You know, the nafs is something that is like, if it lets go, it can create disaster.
Yes.
So that nafs is like a nafs al-lawama. Everybody has that. You know, لا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة, لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. The نفس اللوامة is a judgment in you to make, like, so it'll tell you this, you're wrong, this is not right. In that process, if a person who is educated and wise enough, they'll think that I'm wrong in this way.
That's very important, you're right. And that's definitely something we're going to touch upon in further episodes of Muslim Lady. But that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so very much for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges.